from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
About a month away from college football. Big Ten Media Days next week. I think everyone else has already had theirs. We had the weird Pac-2 Media Day down in Vegas. Big 12 had theirs. ACC had theirs. SEC is just finishing up theirs. And we'll send swag out to the Big Ten Media Day, which is so weird that we will be covering Big Ten Media Day because, well, Oregon is now in the Big Ten. So to talk about that and all things Ducks and Beavers, you can find his stuff. The I-5 Quarter does a great job of covering everything in the state of Oregon. Tyson Alger, friend of the program. How you going, my friend?
I'm doing good, guys. You know, today's my first time doing the Eugene drive in quite some time, and I'm afraid to say, but it feels like football's coming up real quick. I think summer's over, boys.
Yeah, when does Oregon start camp?
So they have their team media day on the 29th, and I believe they're kicking off practice on the 31st. So we're about a week and a half out.
Were you down there chatting with Lanning today, I heard?
The corridor makes some moves every once in a while, and we're working on our season preview content, and we were able to catch Lanning right after a round of golf. He wasn't so happy about the round of golf, but everything else seems to be going pretty well for him right now.
I would say so. Every damn time I turn around, they got another 5-star kid coming in, and now you know something's going good when Kirby Smart is like name checking you and saying he wishes he had what you had.
Right, and I find that specifically so fascinating because if we remember 2 years ago, Lanning's first game as Oregon's head coach, they played Georgia. And they got the barn doors blown off of them. And the next, I think it was the post game or press conference the next week was when Kirby Smart said, "Hey, no offense to Dan, he just knows that we have better players than they do." And I think over the last 2 years, it's been like a complete goal of Lanning and the Oregon staff to make sure that's not the case the next time they meet.
Well, and I don't know if they're quite there yet, but I mean, I've been doing this 20 years. I can't ever remember a season with these sorts of expectations. I mean, there's obviously been some very good Oregon teams. They played for two national titles. But, I mean, look at some of the national polls and the recruiting rankings and just the way people are talking about them. I mean, I don't know if they're necessarily the favorite in the Big Ten. Obviously, Ohio State's right there. But can you recall a season that has more expectations lumped on it than this one?
Never once. And so my first season covering the Ducks was 2014, and obviously that was a season with very large expectations as well. But I feel like so much of those expectations were because of one player. You know, they obviously had Marcus, and he was going to win the Heisman. And, you know, Oregon at that time was still that team that was getting players that kind of fit a system, and maybe if everything went right, they'd have the ability to kind of contend nationally. But you know, it's crazy kind of looking at like the roster composition now and the fact that there's not just like one specific player people are citing as is why, you know, Oregon could be hanging with Ohio State or even, you know, a potential national title contender. It's just the overall depth. You know, I remember, you know, it was probably 6-7 years ago, if the Ducks signed a 5-star, like that'd be, or got a commit from a 5-star, there'd be about 10 profiles on the kid. Like everyone would know every single thing about him because they just don't come to Oregon that often. And now they're signing those types of players with kind of the same sort of fanfare as like when the Helfrich or Chip staff would sign 3- or 4-star guys.
Yeah, it is weird when you think about it. You know, this team is the deepest team Oregon's ever had. Again, biggest expectations. And dare I say, the only really household name is Dylan Gabriel, who just got here. I mean, outside of that, I mean, let's take the average Duck fan, not hardcore, not someone that's subscribing to the I-5 corridor, although you should, great stuff on there. To the average person, not a season ticket holder, goes to two or three games. Who is, I mean, outside of Dylan Gabriel, Tez Johnson? Like, this is not a star-laden team.
It's really hard to kind of be completely, like, up to date on the roster and, like, knowing, like, who to watch at the start of the year. Because, yeah, like, it's year in and year out. There's so much turnover on these rosters. And, yeah, like, we see so much of them, like, dominating on the recruiting trail right now, getting these players that might come here appear 3 or 4 years later. But they're so good at kind of identifying the places they need to patch. And I think that's the biggest change of where Oregon's at right now is they do have like an overall roster where the quality every year is going to be to a certain level where if they do patch in the right spots, like they're going to be able to contend. And so, you know, Gabriel is a very well-known name, but outside of that, like they're going to have a new leading rusher this year. You know, they have some new key pieces on the offensive line. It feels like the entire defense has been retooled. And so I think my biggest concern isn't the talent level, and it's not the fact that if they identified the right players, it's just like, you know, maybe this is an old school thought process, but like I still want to believe that there's like a little bit of chemistry necessary for success in sports and just like how things go right. And I think it's very impressive the way that coaches are able to kind of pull off that team cohesion when it feels like guys are still just getting to know each other's names when kickoff comes around.
Yeah, it does scare me a little bit. I was going to ask you, and we're talking to Tyson Alger, I-5 corridor. I was going to ask you if you're buying the hype because it's I kind of keep going back and forth on it. And one of the things you brought up that kind of scares me is there's 6, possibly 7 starters that are all transfers into the program. Your entire secondary, basically, with the exception of Tyce Johnson, is brand new. Couple big guys up front. I know Birch came in last year, but you got the kid out of Houston and the kid out of Michigan State, Harmon and Caldwell. And that's the only thing that scares me is kind of the hired gun thing to a certain extent. Is there some growing pains in there?
Yeah, despite like a lot of transition on the offensive side too, like I'm pretty darn convinced that they're going to be at about the same level as they were last year with Nix. I think Gabriel is at least a comparable talent. You know, it's nice when you're able to get rid of one quarterback who has like 15,000 career passing yards and replace him with a dude who's thrown for like 14,000.
Yeah.
On the defensive side, I really, really, really do like the front seven. Like the some of the guys that they brought in through the portal are just like massive pieces that I think are going to be able to like cause a lot of havoc. It's that secondary for me. And again, they brought in some talented pieces, but like they've replaced like essentially everybody in that secondary. And it's not like they have necessarily like a ton of depth there of like proven talent behind them. So like I think Oregon's first unit is going to be as good as anybody in the country, but I think that's where you kind of are still playing a little bit of catch up to like the Georgias and the Alabamas and the Ohio States who have been recruiting at this level like for like a decade. But you know, ones on ones, I think Oregon's as good as anybody in the nation right now on paper.
Yeah, we'll find out. I mean, October 12th. I mean, I don't think there's much of an argument. When you look at Oregon's schedule, no offense to any of the teams, and we'll talk about the Beavs in a second, but, you know, Idaho, Boise State, Oregon State, UCLA, Michigan State, I mean, they're going to be 20-point favorites in every one of those games. I mean, they just are. So there's and Ohio State, it's kind of the same way when you look at their schedule. This could be 1-2 at Autzen Stadium, or maybe 1-3 come October 12th. We've never seen that in Eugene, ever.
It's got a very good chance of being the most anticipated game in Oregon history. It's got a chance of being one of the most anticipated games in the nation this year. You know, I've been around for some ones that felt pretty big in Eugene. Michigan State in 14 felt pretty big. That UCLA game 2 years ago felt pretty big when game day was here. Obviously some of those Washington ones, but you know, it's Ohio State, man. Like how often does that happen where a team of that caliber comes to Eugene and Oregon's expected to be at that? And then you also have the history between those two teams with Oregon beating them. What was that 3 years ago? The national championship game also, like there's a lot riding on that game. And I think it's important for both programs too, to kind of, you know, situate themselves early as like who's going to be like the Big Ten's top dog here. Because I mean, I don't, you know, Michigan's obviously a blue blood that just came off the national championship. But I think if everyone were to ask, like, pick your horses right now for the next 5 years in the Big Ten, I think it's Ohio State and Oregon.
Yeah. When you went down and talked to Lanny, and I mean, not ask you to give away, but what was kind of the general feel? Was it just kind of a season preview, just kind of where the program's at? What were a couple of things and anything kind of stick out to you?
Yeah, you know, the thing that I'm fascinated with Lanning is, like, at this point, I think it's fair to, like, take him for his word of, like, this dude has shown that he wants to be committed to Oregon. Yeah. You know, he's going to be here. I kind of wanted to look at, like, what that ends up looking like because, you know, Chip was here 4 years, Mario was here for 4 years, and it seemed like even in the last year of Cristobal's tenure, he was still saying, like, we're still getting going, like wait until, like, we, like, really get going. And then every time a coach says that, they end up leaving. So I really wanted to talk to Lanny not only about, like, this year, but, like, you know, what's it going to look like in year five and year six and year seven? Because that's just something that Oregon fan hasn't really grown accustomed to with a coach of this caliber, at least. And, you know, obviously Lanning's not the type that's going to be like, here's my whole plan, like, let's lay it out for you, buddy. But, you know, it's a guy who is very committed to the program, who has – you know, he's not the right person to ask, like, did you ever see yourself sitting in this position? Cause like the answer is always yes. Like this guy has thought out 10 steps ahead. So, you know, I think, a lot of the news that we've had the last couple weeks with, of these five stars that have been signing and everything, I think that's just kind of what he believes to be kind of the tip of the iceberg for what they really want to turn this program into.
Well, I'll tell you what, and to be fair, a lot of people, you know, whenever we talk about this, there's the anti-Duck people love to point out that he's never won anything, and that is fair. And I do think that there is there's mounting expectations, and you know, just being an also-ran, or I didn't even know, is making the College Football Playoff and the expansion, is that enough?
Not anymore. Yeah. I think that's a tough rise in expectation, because I think if it was still like the 4-team playoff and Oregon were to make that playoff this year, like I think that's a huge feather in the cap of a third year head coach. But yeah, Oregon should be one of the best 12 teams next year. That's part of the expectations, and that's a lot of pressure riding on a coach who doesn't really have a signature win yet. Mm-hmm. And I also do think it's a lot of pressure on Gabriel too. Like this guy's a legit quarterback. He's a stud. Like he's put up a lot of like good tape. But every good quarterback Oregon's had in like this position where like they're the Heisman front runner so far, like they've always had like some sort of like extra thing either with like the team or the crowd. Like in 14, Mariota like was already probably on his way to having a statue built for him, whether or not he won that Heisman or not. You know, Herbert's reign came where he was able to kind of like gently start as like the freshman and then eventually work his way up to that Rose Bowl winning season. Like Gabriel has no wiggle room here. He has to be excellent from the start because that's what the expectations are. And he also has a pretty darn good backup quarterback behind him as well.
Yeah. It's weird. The hired gun thing is strange. I mean, Nix was too, but he was here for a couple years and yeah. Even so he's not beloved kind of way the other guys were. One didn't win anything, but he certainly had a huge impact on the program, but it'd be really weird to see a guy come in 1 year and it's a different era of football. You know, it's like, depending on what happens, like, does he go down as like, if he wins a national title, it's like, is this the greatest quarterback in Oregon history when he was here for 4 months and never took a class? It's a strange world.
It's almost like, you know, like in the baseball Hall of Fame when they argue about like what hat is that player going to wear on their plaque. And, you know, in college football, you know, at this point, there's some quarterbacks, specifically Oregon's current one, that's put up pretty good stats at two different schools. This will be his third one coming up.
Yeah, it's strange. And then, you know, just down the road a bit, I know you cover, you know, everything in the state of Oregon, but I just can't help. It's as weird as it is for Oregon to be in the Big Ten and Big Ten media days and all that, and Ohio State and Michigan, I still think it's stranger to me with the Oregon State thing. You know, the weird little Pac-12 or Pac-2 media day and, you know, the independent, you know, schedule. And it's absolutely bizarre. Like, just your kind of general thoughts on this year for Oregon State and maybe what the future holds.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to compare? The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Man, it's so hard to place like expectations on what this year should be for them. It just still seems, I know it's been the topic that we've talked about ad nauseum for like the last year, but like there's still part of me as camp is starting up and yeah. You know, these media days are coming, that like it's just like, man, like this really happened. Like Last year we were chronicling just like what such a great story it was that like Jonathan was able to turn around that program because they were so bad, and what was that, 17-18 before he took over. And so it's like I don't know what like a start over and like what success looks like for them. Like I think, you know, the goal for the university is kind of still to remain in the around the periphery of the conversation. Like I actually kind of liked that the Pac-2 or whatever you want to call it now did their little, you know, let's crash Vegas after the Big 12 won and try to catch some of that media. But, you know, when the Ducks and Beavers play in week three, week five.
Well, it's the third game for Oregon State.
Sorry. Week three, like, I think Oregon's going to beat him by 50, man. And like I don't say that as like somebody who wants to see that or a Ducks homer. It's just the realities of modern college football. And I think, you know, even if it's like an underdog story or a good story, like there's going to be some very, very tough moments in Corvallis this year. And I just kind of feel bad about it.
Yeah. I'm scared because they start off with Idaho State and that should be a win. And then they're on the road at San Diego State. And what honestly scares me is, If they lose to San Diego State and say it's a tough game, it's not like that's an easy place to go. If you drop that to San Diego State and then you're home at Reser, and I'm with you. I think that game gets out of hand. It's just the talent gap is just gargantuan. Just is. What does that do to that fan base if that happens for the rest of the year? That's already been kicked in the teeth so much.
Yeah, and you know, In that instance too, you don't even have like the normal like end of the season. Granted, we just said we expect the Ducks to win that game pretty large, but like it's you don't have the normal cadence of the season either. Like it's, you know, I imagine there'll be a couple high moments, and you know, I do like the coaching staff that they were able to assemble down there, but like I think even they are still kind of looking at this and being like, you know, like where do we lie in this? Like, you know, is, you just mentioned like a San Diego State, like is Oregon State still expected to be better than a San Diego State? Because like in their current, you know, sitting, like there's not really any reason to be.
Yeah. I just feel for that fan base. And I just don't want we get to the back half of that season and go back to the days where no one went. Cause it felt like those days had ended. And I'm scared of what a beatdown that early in the season could do for, no offense, but when you're getting games that aren't exactly marquee games. And,
right.
And that's what I don't want to see happen. I don't want to see, let's take, for example, like, you know, UNLV on October 19th. I don't want to see 11,000 people in the stadium.
No. Especially, too, when, you know, I remember covering the Utah game last year. I think it was like a Friday night. It was on national TV. It was a completely sold out stadium. They're so proud of that stadium renovation, and I think they did a great job with it too. And I don't think it'll look good if it's half full.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be an interesting year. It's going to be a strange season on so many different fronts, both in Eugene and Corvallis. And if you want to keep following the action, I highly recommend giving them a little poke there. You can find them on Twitter, or X his stuff, the i5quarter.com. Tyson Algieri does a great job, and we look forward to talking to you down the road.
Awesome. Thanks so much, guys.
Well, next time, I want to talk about some pond hockey. You out there mixing it up?
Dude. We had a 11 p.m. game last night. I'm struggling. I'm getting too old for this stuff, man. It was a groggy drive down to Eugene this morning.
All right, before I let you go, who's your team?
So for the longest time, it was the Canucks.
Okay. Cause
like I grew up in Alaska, and that was kind of like the closest regional thing. I always said that I needed to have, like, I would have killed to have a team in Seattle, because that's where all my allegiances were. So now I'm kind of torn between, you know, what I liked as a kid versus, you know, I can take the train up there and pop into a game now. Yeah, it's pretty nice.
Stick with the Canucks. I've been taking my kids there for like the last like 12 years going to Canucks games. My kids are Canucks fans. Don't go cracking. It's too easy. Stick with the Canucks.
Yeah, you know, and then it's a Canadian team too. So that way, I'll feel a little bit of pride in 40 years when a Canadian team finally wins a cup again. So
there you go. Stick with our Canucks. We'll go up and see a game sometime.
Absolutely, man.
All right, take it easy. All right, that's Tyson Alger. i5 quarter went way long, but good stuff there. When we come back, we are way, way over. How about this? When we come back, let's get back on the clock. Here's Buck with SportsCenter.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.